You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So this whole month of February, we're dedicating it to relationships, to teach you on relationships between husbands and wives, friends, family, siblings, your colleagues at work. Relationship between dads and their children, moms and children, so that we can look at all of those. Amen? Amen. So relationships has got a lot to do with what you purpose in your heart. A matter of fact, Christianity is all about the heart. And Jesus looks at our heart more than anything else. Good relationships starts with a good heart. Turn to the person next to you, say, it's all about your heart. So we're going to look at some examples in the Bible, but let's start off with the best example, Jesus Christ, when it comes to relationships. Amen? Let me see, who of you know that you overthink things when it comes to relationships and friendships? Who of you know that you're a little bit too emotional when it comes to relationships and friendships? Okay, that's fine. If you're a bit sensitive, that's good. God wants to use that sensitivity for you to be sensitive towards other people, not the enemy to use that sensitivity against you. Amen. So let's start. It's all about the heart. So let's start by laying a good foundation. Matthew 11 verse 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is comfortable and my burden is light." So number one, you don't know everything about relationships. If you want to know how relationships work, go to the man who wrote the book. Amen? So if you want to know more about relationships, Jesus says, come and learn from me. Learn from me so that your burden can be easy, or your yoke can be easy and your burden can be light. So to learn from Jesus when it comes to relationships is a process. Nobody just meets somebody and they're best buddies. You have to get to know the person. And you'll usually see people that are best friends. It's a relationship that's taken some time. Turn to the person next to you, say, appreciate the process. Can I say that if you want good relationships, whether it's with your spouse, whether it's with colleagues, whether it's with people that you work with, whether it's people at church or you study with, here's the key. Jesus said, I am humble in heart and I am gentle. If you want good relationships, it starts in humility and sincerity of heart towards those that are around you. Not an attitude, I'm going to sort everybody out and show them they're wrong and what's the right way to do it. Can I have one amen? Amen. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What are some of the things that cause the most stress in our lives? Well, I'll give you two things. One is money and the other one is relationships. Who of you have had some relationships or friendships in the last 6 months that place some stress and burdens upon you? Who of you know you could have handled some of those situations better? Who of you wish that you did handle them better? Okay, so we're going to focus a little bit on relationship. There's a need for us to be mature when it comes to relationships. Not every time be emotional, but to be mature when we communicate, and we're going to see what is the right way to communicate how to do it, and how you can get your love to be constant, your emotions to be constant. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? We all need some help in relationships. You know, when I met my wife, I looked at this English, Italian woman from the Free State. You know, just the whole thing about that tells you that you, English, Free State, Italian. And I thought, I said this to her, I said, we're never going to say this is me, take it or leave it. We have to be prepared to change. Because in my heart, I thought I'm going to have to change it a lot. Ever done that? And then I realized the person that's going to change the most was actually me. So if you want your relationships to get better, guess what? It starts with you and not the other people. Your heart, what you've purposed in your heart. So let's just go and look at where does the problem start when it comes to relationships. Are you ready for this journey? Turn to the person and you say, I'm ready. Say, I want to be more humble. I want to love more people. And I just want to be a better friend, a better spouse. So let's go have a look and see where did the problem start. It started in Genesis. Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any animal of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden? And let me just tell you that most relationship problems originates from this. Did God really say? That will confront your heart. We've just read that the Bible says that, come learn from me, I'm humble in heart. Do I really have to forgive? Did the Bible really say I have to forgive? 70 times 7. Has that ever confronted your heart? Does the Bible really say, bless those that curse you? Just think about this. The devil didn't come and tempt Adam and Eve to steal something, to kill somebody. He came and he tempted them. Did God really say? And before the relationship got contaminated between man and God, their hearts were contaminated. Turn to the person next to you and say, God, your heart. Turn to the person on the other side and say, God, your heart. So you have to guard your heart above everything. Because what you treasure in your heart above everything is the way that you will respond. Many people respond in certain ways because they've made certain vows in their hearts. They've purposed certain things in their hearts which does not line up with the Word of God. So if you want good relationships, you have to make God's Word the standard for your life. Your heart must know the Word of God and treasure the Word of God above all things if you want good relationships. But if you don't treasure this above and somebody hurts you or offends you, you want a piece of me, you'll draw the line. Step over that, I'll show you. But that's not Word. That's what you are feeling. But that's not the truth. That's not the way God wants us to respond. Am I talking to the right people here? Turn to the person next to you and say, relationships are hard work. Every battle with every person, every disagreement with a spouse, with a colleague, will always challenge your heart. Did God really say, I have to be nice with you? Did God really say, I have to be gentle?
Did God really say I have to be humble?
Ever had those kind of conflicts in your heart? Jesus knew that everything starts with the heart. Everything starts with the heart. Proverbs 27:19 says, as in water face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Ladies, listen to me. This is why you want to spend time to get to know the guy, so that his heart can reflect the true person. Gentlemen, that's why you want to get to know her, so that her heart can start to reflect the real person. Because in the beginning, they're just going to show you the nice. Spend time with people and you'll hear what comes out of their hearts. When they're relaxed and just talk, then you'll see what comes. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Am I helping some of you here? So God looks at the heart. Heart. Eve's heart was first contaminated before the relationship became contaminated. Nobody can ever say it just happened. When you look at the book of James chapter 1, it says, you have a desire. He said to her, you know what? You can be like God. She said, I can be like God. That desire, a seed was planted, a lie was planted in her heart. Then that seed starts to grow. And when it matures, it gives birth to sin, and sin is death. That's why you have to be careful who are the friends around you. I spoke about it last week, who is speaking into your life, and when you have to just allow them to speak over you. Because if you believe a lie in your heart, it can affect your relationships. The Bible says, by means of a whisperer, the best of friends are separated. Best friend. Now somebody walks past you and say, Somebody walks past Hendrik and whispers in his ear, Pastor doesn't really like you. And now me and him are good friends, and he thinks, yeah, he didn't greet me this morning. You're right, he doesn't like me. And by means of a whisperer, close friends are separated. Because you allowed something into his heart which was not the truth. I hope I'm helping some of you here. So if you want your relationships to get better, who of you know you're a bit emotional, a bit snappy, a bit bitey? Let me just see. Raise your hand. Just be honest. This is church. You can be. It's a safe space. Safe space. Amen. When the man came to Jesus, who was lame, who wanted to walk, what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. Why? Because Jesus knew you first need healing on the inside if you want your healing on the outside to last. Isaiah prophesied this. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Then after that, to set the captives free. Why? Because you need your heart to be healed before you can be set free. Because if you're in prison here, it doesn't matter what happens on the outside. You'll still behave like somebody that's in prison. Turn to the person next to you, say, it starts with you. Say, if you want better relationships, you need a better heart. So this is the thing. Your heart needs to get healed. Many times when your heart is healed, you'll have your deliverance. You'll have your breakthrough. Because now your behavior and everything will change. Many people are battling with issues from childhood. Broken hearts, disappointments. In relationships, in friendships. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So if you want better relationships, we're going to lay the right foundation today. It's all about the heart. Matthew 6, verse 33. First seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So we want all the add-ons. We want a great relationship, a great friendship. You want a great marriage. Listen to me. If you have a broken heart and you meet somebody with a broken heart and you go into a relationship, you're just two people with broken hearts. That's probably going to end up breaking each other. But when your heart is healed and you're with somebody whose heart is healed, now you can be healed. You can walk in the healing and you can be an example to the world. I hope I'm talking to the right people here. Sometimes we are broken and we think if I can just marry somebody, I'll be whole. You're not going to be. Enough. Let God first heal your heart. Then you get somebody whose heart is healed. Then you can have a happy relationship. Amen. Nobody is perfect. Let me just tell you, my wife didn't marry a perfect man. God had to work a lot in me. Amen. But we have to be prepared to change. Listen to this following statement. You are always going to judge people on their worst actions, outwardly what they are doing, and you will justify yourself on your best intentions, your pure loving heart that just wants to help everybody. Am I talking to the right people here? You judge people on their worst actions. Nathan the prophet comes to David. He says, David, I want to tell you a story. There were two men. The one had a lot of sheep, lambs, and there was one poor man who only had one. He said, you won't believe, David, what happened. Somebody came and took this poor man's one little lamb and killed it. David said, what wicked man is this? How can he behave like that? Bring him to me. I'm going to kill him immediately. Nathan says to him, David, you are that man. He was judging outwardly on the worst actions, saying, but I'm a good... And God says, Let's just turn it. You are that person. You are the one who took the lamb. And God uses parables often to show us the condition of our heart. So I want to go on and just look at the parable that Jesus spoke about, the kingdom of God, which refers to the heart of man. Because if you want good relationships, who of you want better relationships? You don't need better people around you. You need a better heart. Can I have an amen or an ena? We don't need better people around us. You need a better heart. Amen? The problem is not when you drive to Joburg, the people around you are not the problem. It's your behavior, your heart while you are driving. How dare you cut in front of me again? But how are you driving as the wise driver of the century, showing everybody? Anybody can criticize, but it takes a man and woman of God filled with the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, to show a more excellent way. So are you ready? Say to the person next to you, say, God is about to reveal my heart. Please pray for me. So when we look at the parable of the sower, we see it in three of the Gospels, but in Mark, let me just go to Mark chapter 4. What's interesting about this parable, Jesus usually just told the parable, but here he explains the parable. He says, I want to explain to you what this parable is all about. He says, listen, behold, the sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Wow. It teaches us that everything is about the heart. Jesus is standing on a boat. The boat becomes his platform.
The waves becomes his sound system, and the people hear what he is saying and he's challenging hearts. Let me just tell you, if the church that you go to, the messages that are preached, if it's not challenging your heart, but it's just tickling your ears to say what you want to, how are you going to become more like Jesus? If the whole goal is to become more like Jesus, but all that's being preached is how you can become more like successful like the world, how are we ever going to be like Jesus? So the gospel always confronts your heart. Amen? So he talks about the sower, he's talking about the kingdom of God, and he says that the kingdom of God is like a sower that sows seed. The kingdom of God is about relationship. It's about God coming to restore relationship back to us. So the first thing I want to say to you, if you want good relationship, it's going to take time. You don't just plant a seed today and have a harvest tomorrow. Galatians 6 verse 7, the J.B. Phillips translation, it says, a man's entire life is based upon the seed that he has sown. I tell my wife more than once every day, she looks beautiful. I do it. I say, you're beautiful. I say, you still do it for me. I say, you are gorgeous. I say it to her. That's the truth. Amen. And she's still beautiful. Amen. So if you're not happy with what you're seeing, maybe check your own confession, check your own heart. Amen, 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 amen. Let the spirit of singing not come on me. Amen. So what you want, plant good seeds. Amen. Plant good seeds. That which you desire, Genesis 8:22 says, from the beginning there's seed time and harvest. What you want in your relationship, start to plant those kind of seeds. Because if you plant those kind of seeds, you'll have that kind of a relationship and friendship. So guess what? If you want your wife to smile more at you, why don't you take the lead and be the smiling guy? So in your life, the harvest that you have today is based upon seeds that you've sowed in the past. Any harvest can be changed. But you decide what kind of seed you want to sow. And it takes time. Amen? I know sometimes we find ourselves in difficult situations, difficult relationships, where the other party are not behaving like Jesus. That's why the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. Don't get married to a person who's not a believer. Can I have one amen? Amen. Family, listen to me. This has to be the standard. This has to be the standard. Can I tell you, I'll give you one reason. Because if you are born again, you are born of love. You have God's ability to love. You have God's ability to forgive. As Christ has forgiven you, you can forgive. But when you are married to somebody who is not born again, they can only love with their soul, whereas you can love with your spirit. That's not fair. That's a leech relationship. You're going to be able to give more, and they are limited in what they can give. But you made the decision to be unequally yoked. And then you come and you say, please pray for him, Pastor. I'll pray for him. But why did you do it? Why did you get married to him? And if you are not born again and you want to be able to love the way that Jesus loves, get saved. Get born again. And let his ability become your ability. Because you don't just need the word of God, you need the spirit of God to have a great relationship. Where the spirit of God can lead you and prompt you to do certain things for your spouse, for your children, for the people around you, friendships, colleagues. Am I talking to the right people here? The word of God does things differently.
You know, you can meet somebody out there, but you're more than likely going to meet somebody in church. Because if their heart is to worship God in spirit and in truth, and your heart is to worship God in spirit and in truth, you can meet each other here. I speak to my children. So you can go on a missionary trip to where there's unsaved people, but you're more than likely not going to meet somebody there. Because God wants you to have somebody when you get born again, or when you get married, that's born again. Because Malachi says the whole purpose of this union is to bring forth godly offspring. That's the purpose, godly offspring. It's not for you to be happy and to just find somebody. There's a greater purpose where God becomes the standard in your life. So God's word needs to be the standard in your life. Amen. Common sense when it comes to relationships is really not a flower that grows in everybody's garden. Now you look so seriously at me. Do you know what I mean? Because sometimes when you look at that roses, you're not asking, are they saved? This person that God, is this person born again? You're just saying, God has brought somebody in my life. It must be the one. The devil can also bring somebody in your life. Yes, God can use you for them to get saved. But please, when it comes to relationships and you want to get married to somebody and you are born again, get married to somebody that's born again. Because your values will be the same. What you believe will be the same. What you want for the children will be the same. You're avoiding a lot of conflict. Learn from God's ways. Amen. So the word of God is like a seed. How much time have I got left? Am I helping some of you here this morning? The Bible says, it is the spirit who gives lives and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Can I give you the secret here? Do you want better relationships? Make this the standard and ask, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. Touch my heart. Change my heart to be a better husband, to be a better friend, to be a better pastor, to be a better colleague. And let God change you from the inside out. Amen. Can we quickly look at what the Bible says about the different conditions of the heart? A.W. Tozer says, anything that keeps you away from your Bible is your enemy. This can become your enemy if it's keeping you away from this. Some of you, to keep up with the Bible marathon that we have right now, you have to put this down and pick this up. Amen? Amen? That's why we're letting you read more Bible, so that the word can come into your life, into your heart. Because when the word is into your heart, by its very nature, it will change you, and you'll find yourself acting with God, walking with God, planning with God. Amen. So, first heart that receives the seed. The Bible talks about soil that is hard. Turn to the person next to you and say, you cannot have a hard heart. It's soil where there's no moisture. It's not allowing the river of God to flow there. It's a callous in your heart. And it's mostly because you've been offended, you've been hurt, and now you've hardened your heart because of a past hurt. Amen? Amen? And you keep people at a distance. Nobody can come close to you. Can I just give you the good news? I'm going to give you a heads up. Luke 17 says, offense will come to everybody. But what you do with the offense is up to you. When that seed falls in your heart, the Bible says, because it's so hard, the birds come very quickly and they steal it away. So you come to church, you hear the word of God, you hear that God loves you. But because your heart is hardened, the smallest little thing upsets you. You stand in the queue to buy a boerewors roll. And you say, can I have some mustard? And they say, here's the mustard. And you say, I don't like this mustard. It must be this mustard or I don't eat it. And something like mustard steals your joy. You know what I'm talking about. You go to the, you want to buy something at the shop and you say, can I have Coke Light? And they say, we only have Coke Zero. And a zero steals your joy. Am I talking to the right people here? You talk to your wife and you say, it would be so nice if we can have fish and chips tonight. And she says, yes, that would be lovely. Fish and chips would be amazing. And you get home and she's made pop and borscht. I thought you said you wanted fish and chips. He says, yes, I wanted fish and chips, but I took out pop and borscht this morning, so I made us pop and borscht. What? And something like pop and borscht can steal your joy and your happiness. Food. I'm not going to ask the men, but ladies, who of you have seen your husband lose his peace over food? It's the condition of your heart. His heart is revealing. He's just confessing his weakness towards you. That it's a hard heart. Amen? Don't go use that against him. That's for you as well. Amen? The next heart is a shallow heart. You know, sometimes I have conversations with my kids or with people, and I'm thinking we're having a deep conversation, and then they say, it's not that deep. I'm like, what do you mean it's not that deep? It's deep. This is where you sometimes get hurt in relationships because you coming in with a heart that is deep, you want to give everything, and the person is coming with shallow heart. Listen to me. You want to give all your heart, they're giving this much of their heart. The Bible says it's seed that falls among rocky ground places and it's received with joy and it sprouts up quickly. But as soon as things happen, a little bit of sun, happy to come to church. We're in church every Sunday. You know how many people I meet that say, I'll see you in church next week. And I say, we'll see. I've read the book. I know how it works. But I'm not going to stop praying for you. I'm going to continue to pray for you. As soon as it's just a little something that upsets you, difficulties move away. Amen. The next heart is one of the most dangerous hearts. That's the divided heart. Sorry, the previous heart is where Jesus becomes one of the things. One of the things in your life. So you say, I'll be in church next week until there's a Sunday paintball game. Oh, no, let's just go do the paintball first. Jesus become one of the things. You know what I'm talking about? The next heart is the divided heart. The seed starts to grow. But as soon as some difficulty comes, the Bible says, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this world, it steals that word out of your heart. We need to be very focused if we want good relationships. Amen? Have to look and see what's going on in your heart, especially if you have a heart that gets easily offended. Easily offended. How do you know when your heart is offended? You'll hear it. You'll hear it. Hebrews 12:15 says, when there's bitterness in your heart, your mouth will say it. You'll defile people. You talk bad about people the whole time. Then you know your heart has become a mirror. It's reflecting what's going on. The cares of this world takes you away. The deceitfulness of riches takes you away. The final heart is the heart with good soil. It's a teachable heart. Somebody can speak into your life and with humility and sincerity you receive it. A hardened heart, when somebody tells you something, your heart is hard. Oh, I know that. I've done that. I know how it works. I've been to church before. Pushes away. But the humble heart where the soil is fruitful, can receive that seed with meekness in the innermost part that starts to change your way of thinking, the way that you talk to people. Can I just say, average return on harvest is tenfold,
But here he says, if you allow the word of God to rule and dominate your heart, you'll see 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold return on the harvest. Turn to the person next to you and say, the heart is very important. So it's very simple. It starts by giving Jesus the rightful place. Starts by giving Jesus the rightful place. Don't look at your spouse as an assignment to change them. Can I have one amen? Amen. Don't look at your spouse as an assignment to change them. This is now the second time. Don't look at your spouse as an assignment to change them. But let the word of God show you what's going on in your heart. You know what I do quite often? I ask myself, what kind of a father, what kind of a husband, what kind of a pastor do I want to be a year from now? Then I ask myself, what needs to change on the inside for me to be that? Not how do I change the people around me to achieve that? What needs to change on the inside? Amen? And certain things I've just purposed in my heart to do for the relationship to be better or to work at it. Amen? Can I say, men, listen to me. As men, we should have a servant's heart. A servant's heart. If we want to show Jesus to our spouse, to our children, to the people around us, we should have a servant's heart as husbands. I didn't expect one amen, but in any case, I'm going to do that, okay? Can I have one amen, men? Amen. Just go do one little thing to show that you can serve your family. And it's in every household, it's something different. What I try and do every morning, I don't get it right every morning, but I try and make coffee for the whole family. And I try and do it even more now because my children are almost out of the house. That they can remember, Dad made us coffee. Dad showed us a different way that a man can also make coffee. I'm not saying, men, if your wife is making the coffee, good for you. You enjoy that cup of coffee. Amen. It's the best cup when my wife brings a cup of coffee in the morning. But most of the times I try and do that because I want to show that servant's heart. Amen. And if God lays anything else on my heart, I'll do that. So, a harvest, a good harvest comes from a good heart. Open your heart and give Jesus the rightful place. I promise you, if you're not going to challenge the word of God, if you're going to say, I'm going to make this the standard, and when this says forgive, then you forgive. And if you say, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me, lead and guide me to show me how to be a better spouse, a better friend, a better pastor, the Holy Spirit will lead you. But if I come and I say, I'm doing it my way, I've been doing it long enough, I know how this works, that's not a humble, teachable spirit. So if you want to get it right in relationships, it starts with the heart. Amen. So let's have hearts that will allow the word of God to penetrate it by saying, Lord, touch my heart, change my heart, that I can be a better spouse, that I can be a better friend. And I want to tell you, if the person that you want to marry does not want to make this the standard for their lives, rather walk away. Rather cry about the person that got away than crying about the person you married. Let me just say it like that. But make this the standard for your life. Because to have Jesus in your life, there's no other way. He's the only living God. He's the God that loves us so much that he sent his son. Not just to walk on this earth, but he died for us. He came and he showed us a more excellent way. Amen. I'm closing with this. The middle three letters of heart is ear. So it's important to have a heart that can listen. Jesus, after he told this parable, he says, he who has an ear, a heart that will listen, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. If you want better relationships, it starts with the heart. When you give Jesus the rightful place in your heart, I promise you, you will have better relationships. When you give Jesus the rightful place, the Holy Spirit will lead you by his word, by the Spirit, what to say in difficult situations. When Jesus rules and reigns in your heart, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your love will become more constant, your emotions will be more constant, and your responses will be more constant. Selah.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.